My soul. Wow, you all sounded so good. I love that song. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Julia. That was beautiful. Today's text will be Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Saints, before we begin, I want to remind you that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So good morning, beautiful people of God.
Good morning.
Amen. If you have your Bibles again, Luke 6, 17 through 26. Hear our text this morning. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. All in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time and opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. If there is anything hidden in our hearts that will hinder us from continuing to worship you, from hearing your word on this day, remove it, O God. Open us up to receive, to hear, and to do. We bless your holy name, for you are worthy of all the praise. You are an awesome, awesome God. And for this, we are grateful. In Christ's name, we do pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. So as we continue to follow Jesus through his baptism, his first miracle, his declaration of his mission as the light to the whole world. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to the blind, to the oppressed. We then follow Jesus down by the lakeside on the first commissioning of his disciples. Today, I want to do a little teaching, if that's okay with you. And I just want to talk to you for a little bit. I want to take a moment to set the tone, the stage for our gospel text, because it is important to acknowledge context before we dive into content. We all have experienced the blessings and the woes of life. Some among us have never suffered, while others among us have suffered a great deal. Our passage today is not about values or some moral or ethical code. It is about our willingness and commitment to follow Jesus Christ, to preach the good news to the oppressed, the blind, the poor, and the imprisoned. For if we're only preaching the good news to ourselves as the church, we have missed the mark. In the Gospel of Luke, we began at verse 17, where Luke is painting a picture. And it starts with a level spot, a flat plain, not a hill or a mountain. So think of tonight's Super Bowl, where the field is level. The players may not be, but the field is level. Jesus is speaking from truly a level place. All seats are general admission. There's no balcony or box seats. There's no mezzanine for the rich or the important or the influential. Jesus is once again standing with and among a great crowd of God's people. He is at a level plain, a level spot. The crowd is diverse. The text tells us they come from all Judea, Jerusalem, the coast of Tyre and Sidon, suggesting there were Gentiles, non-Jews, among them. Those who came to hear Jesus, they came from all over to be healed of their disease and cured from their troubled and unclean spirits. So I ask this day, as we look at context before content, why do you show up to worship, fellowship, and Bible studies, mission and service, time and time again? Is it to point a finger at what is wrong with the world, or what is wrong with this person or that person or those persons? Or is it to be healed of what is ailing you so that you too may share your experience of our living God? A wise person once told me that when we point one finger at someone, three fingers point back at us. Verse 17 says, and this is a reminder, he came down, Jesus, he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. Saints, according to Scripture, the power of Jesus is at a level place. The power of Jesus is at a level place and available to all. Everyone say all. We are still setting the tone for this level place, not the sunken place, but this level place. See, prior to this chapter, Jesus cleansed a leper. He healed a paralytic. He called Levi, the tax collector, to come and follow him. He healed the man with the withered hand. What a powerful beginning for the newly commissioned disciples. This great crowd knew and acknowledged the power of Jesus, and they believed. They had hope and faith, and they did their part to reach out and touch him so that they could be healed. You know, sometimes we are so distracted, we fill a void with a void instead of Jesus Christ. Jesus, with his healing, his power to transform hearts, is at a level place. So I think it is in our best interest in our text today to acknowledge the sick that were among the crowd. Remember, we're setting the context before we dig into the content. The sick came to be healed. Verse 19 tells us, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him. The power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Everyone say all. As a pastor, a global traveler, as a hospice and emergency room chaplain, but especially within these past 2 years, amid a global pandemic, I have learned sickness knows no bounds, whether physical, mental, or spiritual. Healthcare may discriminate, banks may draw red lines, homeless shelters may turn families away, and children may not have food on the weekend. But poverty and drugs and sickness, quite frankly, do not care about your race, your religious affiliation, your sexuality, politics, or anything else that divides and separates humanity. I'm talking about the physical ailments that plague our society. Physical and spiritual sickness transcends boundaries and gives a firm ground for discord and exclusion that separates the body of Christ. When Jesus is at the level plane, nothing can stand between us and the work of our God. Today, our text is proclaiming the level spot. This is not the Gospel of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. This is the Gospel of Luke's Sermon on the Plain. This is the church where people are healed, not excluded, not discriminated against, nor ignored. There is too much at stake to be indifferent to Jesus being present at this level plane. Not above us, but among us and with us. We're setting the tone for context before content. Remember in Nazareth, Jesus was led to a cliff by his own people for proclaiming this upside down view of calling forth a new way, a new reality of who God values and for who God sees. We witness in Luke Jesus transition from this miraculous time of healing to this intimate teaching where he looks to his disciples and speaks to them directly. He shares with them this very raw, faith-shattering, two-part declaration of the realm of God. I'm going to read it to you one more time. Verse 20 says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man." He then goes on to say, "But woe to you who are rich, For you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. What a proclamation. But it's not for us to see where we or a family member or neighbor fits into these profound words. But quite possibly, it is there to bring attention to the very people who are in the crowd and for them to see the fulfillment of Christ's mission to bring good news to the poor, the oppressed, the imprisoned, and bind. See, Jesus heals the people, and then he turns to the disciples. Unlike the Beatitudes in Matthew, Luke addresses the physical sickness that occurs within humanity. The poor, the hungry, the defamed, the weeping, the hated, the excluded. There is a new situation in life for those who respond to Jesus. This is not an Old Testament blessing, a bestowing of wealth and privilege. Jesus is reiterating to the disciples, these people are fortunate in this upside down view of who God values. These people are fortunate because God sees and hears them when we don't. God sees and hears them through every can of food collected for Manna Food Pantry, for every shoe that's given to Gulf Coast Kids House, for every bag of groceries or gift card that is shared from Cokesbury Church. Jesus is looking at his disciples on this level plane. See, we may not talk about Bruno, but we are certainly going to talk about the woes in this text. The woes listed in this passage are not a curse. I'm going to say that one more time. The woes listed in this passage are not a curse. Jesus is not saying, cursed are you who are rich, who are full now, who are laughing now, and cursed are you when people speak well of you. There is a particular function for these woes. They are more like a call to attention, a warning of sorts. Luke is presenting this large-scale public event, but Jesus is speaking directly and primarily to the disciples. The ministry of Jesus already begins, and he is announcing this call for this open-handed generosity. The woes, not curses, are a warning to the smug, the self-satisfied, the egotistical, the indifferent, to those who look to others for validation, to those who are worshiping idols and God, money and fame and fortune, and to those who are excluding God's people. The woes are a warning. We witness Luke, through these blessings and woes, address the physical sickness that occurs within humanity. Instead of a curse, we see this warning, this clarion call to pay attention. But saints, isn't it great to know that it is never too late to choose God? He is not cursing. He is warning and telling the disciples to pay attention. It's never too late to choose God. It's never too late to realign ourselves, our generosity, to see, hear, and value what God sees, hears, and values. God's grace isn't just with you, me, us. God's grace is at the level plane, the level place, the level playing field. God's grace and love is reorienting what it means to be in community, who is blessed and fortunate, and who still needs some work. It's not those people, it's us. God is going to be active whether we are on board or not. But saints, it is never too late to choose God's ways and not our ways. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I still believe that standing up for the truth of God is the greatest thing in the world. This is the end of life. The end of life is not to be happy. The end of life is not to achieve pleasure and avoid pain. The end of life is to do the will of God, come what may." The end of life is to do the will of God, come what may, no matter what happens. The beginning of life, saints, is to stop filling a void with a void, but to fill the voids in our lives with Christ, with open-ended generosity, with prayer, with service and worship, with mission and study, daily devotions, and gathering together as a community of faith and singing the songs of our traditions that we remember and recall in our hearts. The beginning of life is acknowledging that God's grace and this notion that I am because you are is what gets us through the tough times together. I am because you are. This is not a communist or socialist ideal. It is an active gospel because our God is active today. Through the Gospel of Luke, not on a hill, but on a mountaintop, the power of Jesus is at our level, among us, to do God's will, to help the poor, to preach the good news to them, to the hungry, to the oppressed, to the imprisoned. Our God is active today, not on a hill looking down or a mountaintop looking over, but among us. Jesus simply told the disciples, like it is. Pay attention that we are not the smug, the arrogant, the egotistical, the indifferent. Pay attention that we share the good news of Jesus Christ so people will come to know the saving grace of our God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.